Welcome to the Unstick Your Mind podcast on Mimika TV. Get ready to get unstuck, align with your true purpose, and unlock your God-given potential. For me, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I've always been creative, visionary, always coming up, early adopter, loved the idea of video. I actually was trained as a TV broadcaster and, how to speak and on TV, got into photography. As usual, everything that's of interest to me has to be turned into some kind of business. So I'm always like, what's the next idea, right? So talking about pivots and turns and readjustments and branding makeovers, right? I have been through at least 4 or 5 of those throughout the sort of 25 years I've been an entrepreneur. But what I had realized over those years is I've always been in pursuit of business and the next big idea and of creating something from nothing, because that's what us entrepreneurs love to do, right? We're creators at heart. We love to be able to make something that's in our mind's eye. And along the lines, we encounter life stresses. But as you get a little older, and I'll say probably when I hit my 40s, I was like, okay, midlife crisis going on here. Clearly, girlfriend, we can't keep doing this at this pace. Trying to do things to impress other people, because my drug of choice was being a workaholic. People pleasing, perfectionism. So, and I have, subsequently given my membership to Control Freaks Anonymous up. And since then, it's been so much more fun. And throughout that process, I'd realized like I had always been doing the things that were either expected of me or opportunities that I thought looked like good business opportunities. But for the longest time, I had this internal conflict of not really pursuing what really I felt drawn to do. That sense of purpose. And the thing is, it doesn't matter how much money you make. If you are not in line, and as a Christian faith outcome, that's part of who I am and who my clients are, because our faith is a very important part of our makeup and our alignment. Like some people like to call it the universe. I like to say God of the universe. I like to give him credit where credit's due. So for me, having that internal compass of being aligned with my mind and my emotions and my spirit, it's just how I live my life. And for the longest time, I was having this internal conflict of always like, yeah, I would do that. But I always felt like something was missing. Like there was something part of doing the things that didn't really feel congruent to me. So life teaches us lessons, right? And of course, I didn't see the slowdown and the speed bumps. I was just ramming myself over them until I hit the wall. Now, I don't advise anyone else does that, just in pursuit of being so focused on the end goal, we kind of forget where we are and we forget sight of the greater purpose of why are we doing this in the first place. So I got smacked with a big fat lesson, shut down my business for like 1.5 years, just took time to heal. I journal a lot. So I've written 8 books, and through the process of journaling, I ended up writing 2 other books of my own process and thought processes and that sort of inner healing process. And I came across coaching, and I just love the idea and realized, a lot of what I have been doing has been coaching, because I've been a branding and marketing strategist for about 8 years. I had my own marketing agency helping people and brands, authors, speakers, entrepreneurs create new brands, new businesses, new ideas, market fit and all the things, the email funnels and the marketing, the social media and all that. But what I'd realized, I'd spent so many years building other people's visions and other people's brands that I was crying inside of like, I know I have something to say. I know there's something important that I need to do in this world other than just get the next paycheck or the next client or hustle for the next job, right? And once I'd realized and given myself time to sort of stop and think and really look inside and say, what is it that I really want? Like, where do I want to be in 5 or 10 years' time? Because clearly what I was doing wasn't working. And according to Einstein, the last time I checked, he called that insanity, trying to do the same thing, expecting a different result. So I was like, okay, time to sort of take a pause and to really do the inner work, the deep healing that needs to be done. So I stopped bringing the junk in my trunk from the past into every relationship, every business model. And I'd realized I'd had 4 or 5 businesses and they all seemed to follow a pattern. Because my mindset was a hot mess. So how it wasn't necessarily the opportunities were bad. It's how I approached them in my mind, an approach to how I behaved, patterns of behavior, habits I had established. And, I had to really take a step back and start to do the work that needed to be done in order to change my trajectory, to get in touch with who I really am. And of course, finding my faith and understanding, you know, having the faith crisis didn't help, but it made me realign myself as to the importance of why I do what I do. So I went back to school and I got recertified as a coach. I am a total neuroscience geek. I love to learn how the brain works. And I also come from a sports background because I'm a competitive adult figure skater, which I only learned to skate at 31. So I am proof you can teach an old dog new tricks. And I've been basically being my own guinea pig of, okay, I have this new way of doing things. How do I overcome my muscle memory? How do I, even though I don't feel like this, or this doesn't feel natural to me, or doesn't feel like it's coming easy, how do I learn the skill? How do I become a better thinker? How do I look at things and stop, you know, and address the blind spots that clearly everybody else could see but me? So this whole process over the last sort of 5-6 years, I've just really developing and honing my own style of coaching. And I resonate very, very much with Christian women, especially because us women, especially like women entrepreneurs, I have to juggle a lot, that there often isn't time for us to take time off. Like we almost feel like we're always on the hamster wheel. And I always described it as being pushed from behind. Like even though I would love to take a pause, I feel like I just cannot stop moving because I will fall over. And obviously the environment and the world we've lived in the last couple of years has definitely shifted a lot of people's mindsets around what truly matters, which I think is great. So I'm excited about the opportunities. And now I'm just super excited. I mean, to me, it's the most important work I've ever done, dealing and helping people transform their lives, their relationships, their businesses, their bank balances, their futures. I mean, nothing it can be more important than helping somebody else achieve what they want to achieve by doing the things that we feel light us up the most. You can only help people who want to be helped. So usually we have to come to some form of awareness that just says, you know what I was doing ain't working. I can no longer afford to be in denial. I need to change what I'm doing. And usually it encompasses some kind of shift, or like some of my clients have, you know, gone through a divorce. Some of them have had a business failure. Some of them have, you know, even a midlife crisis. Or some of them have had children who leave home and realize, you know, I've put my life on hold and I've always wanted to do this. And a lot of them are just working professional Christian women, in running their own businesses, just feeling like I just can't do it anymore. Like literally, I mean, not all of them, a lot of them are on the point of burnout because women especially have had it hard and having to juggle family and relationships and business. It's like you never can switch off, right? So a lot of the time it's like, And a lot of the entrepreneurs I work with, they realize that I keep doing something, but it's not working. I'm frustrated. Like, why is this not working? Susie Q down the road has done the same thing, but it works for her, but it's not working for me. And usually a very indicating symptom is they're constantly buying courses, buying the next hack, looking for the next quick fix. Or they're like, okay, I need to do this. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, so-and-so. And they're like all over the place. They're kind of like, they need to find the calm. And usually they realize that they need outside help and they need it now because it becomes pressing. It's urgent. It's affecting their life, their bank balance. Like often in my coaching, this is even before I was called myself a coach, I'd always say business problems are personal problems in disguise. We need to look under the hood of the car. You can try put your foot on the gas pedal and push and have it flat and try and push as much pressure. But if you don't have the right things, if the fan belt's broken, or if you need more oil, or if you've run out of gas, hello, you're not going to go anywhere. And a lot of the time, I mean, my whole brand is called Unstick Your Mind. The most common denominator is they feel stuck. They're not moving forward. They're trying things they've done before, which are not working. They feel frustrated with the lack of progress. They either feel rushed, but not moving. So it's kind of like that feeling of, I don't know what to do next. I've clearly, what I'm doing isn't working. And I need a different approach. So it's kind of like we need to take the car, get it unstuck, get it out off the road, take it to the garage, do a little tinkering under the hood, get it fixed, get some retires, you know, new, fix it and get it before we can get you back on the road. Because you can't go anywhere in an empty gas tank. And you certainly can't go on a broken head gasket. Once you blow that, that's even worse. And a lot of them are, you know, faith-based where they feel they have to be congruent with who they are. Like trying to pretend to be something you're not is it. Like you literally cannot keep up appearances. And eventually something's got to give. So that's where I'm here. I have the several boxes of Kleenex and tissues, and we do a lot of crying, a lot of like, okay, you know, physical exercises, you know, moving the body, and really just spending the time to dig deep and see, let's find the problem so we can fix it. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you can't be something you're not. You can try, but wearing masks is exhausting. So we really need to get to the crux of who you are. And a lot of the time, and I find this especially with entrepreneurs, because you're creating something out of nothing, it's of you. A lot of the time we wrap up our identities with our business performance. Like for years, I was so stuck on that if my business was failing, I was a failure, or I was something was wrong with me. I felt like if I wasn't getting clients, or I wasn't hitting the revenue goals I had, then this must be something wrong with me. Like I'm broken, something's wrong, right? And a lot of that comes back from like childhood trauma or experiences where, you know, we can go, there's so many layers, you know, about how the brain works. And that's what I love about neuroscience, is unpacking why we react this way. But at the end of the day, if you're not congruent with your identity and how what I believe God made you to be, and who you are from, you know, when you were little, and usually when you were 5 years old is a good indication of who you truly are. Because, you know, that's before we become aware of what people think of us. We're like, I mean, for me, hairbrush, standing on the coffee table in the mirror, you know, rocking it out to, I didn't care what people thought. And then, of course, you get to 8, 9, and 10, you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? You know, we like start putting on all the masks and we start pretending to be. So, and oftentimes, you know, when you are in that carefree, childlike wonder stage where everything is, ooh, this is fun and ooh, this is amazing, we have that enthusiasm for life. And along the way, unfortunately, especially for those of us who've been through traumatic experiences, or, you know, had bad childhoods, or didn't have the best upbringing or good modeling of parenting behaviors, we take that junk with us that we've had in our, and we put it in the trunk of our car. And the more we collect, the slower we go. And eventually the junk is going to start screaming at you that it's going to be overflowing unless we get rid of it and deal with it. So my approach is, it isn't just, I don't believe in quick fixes. I don't believe in just instant. There is no instant. Growth takes time. I mean, if it took you these many years to get stuck, it's going to take you a hot minute to get out. And it's not going to take as long, but just like a training program, if you go to the gym, when you first start, everyone knows you feel terrible. You feel stiff. Like you do something and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm hurting for the next few days. And why am I not seeing any results? Why is the weight not dropping as quick as I want to see it? But just like that, the approach to what I call mental wellness is working through retraining your brain using, you know, neuroscience and methods, as well as getting you in tune with who you are and your purpose and who God made you to be. And really a lot of that, like that's what, a lot of the time what I do with my clients is, and it's what I would do when I was a branding strategist, realize is like, who are you and who do you want to show up as? So often a symptom is, oh, yeah, I want to have this logo and I want to look like so-and-so and have those branding colors because this is this is how I want to come across. I'm like, well, if you're not this high-powered woman who's like, you know, really like got that sort of like masculine energy, but you are really sweet and you like, you shine, there's a disconnect and the audience can tell. And that's part of the thing is we can't pretend to be something we're not. People can read body language or they can see things. And part of that is just stripping off the layers. Let's pretend, get rid of, like I say, forget what you've learned. And believe me, I did my marketing for 20 years and I have had to detox from a whole bunch of mass marketing lessons and methods that simply don't work. You can't trick people into believing you. There isn't some magic hack that you just quickly plug in, or some app that you just quickly, or a pill that you just pop that is going to magically fix everything. At the end of the day, it takes time and you just have to do the work. You do have to do building muscle, your mental muscle, just like the gym. You know, you build up, you start slow, eventually you get stronger. And as you use more resistance, you build the muscle. No one goes from, you know, zero to hero. That's just impossible. So it's the process. And that's what I encourage people, is just embrace the process and celebrate growth. Because I have a thing, I'm not necessarily big on goals. Like I understand you need to have goals to have a sort of like direction of where you want to go. But I'm more about growth goals. How can we celebrate the wins along the way? Because women are notoriously bad at this. I don't know if you are. I'm the same way. I used to be like, I have this list of like 20 things. And if I didn't get all 20 done in a day, I'd be like, oh, you're so terrible. I can't believe you. But now I'm like, you know, I'm actually just going to do one. I'm just going to do one. And if I do, I'm going to celebrate and have a huge party because I actually achieved something. And that sense of accomplishment and achieving something is far more valuable. And it's in my approach, what I teach is you have to slow down to speed up. Like you have to take time to fix what's broken before you can put pedal to the metal and get up to speed. You know, you can't take a little broken down trunk and try to compete in the Formula One. You need the right vehicle to get you there. So part of what I think is important as entrepreneurs is to really allow yourself time to do the work and to realize it really starts with me. And from a branding and a business and positioning perspective, it's who you want to be and how you can show up in the world being authentically you. Then it doesn't feel like work. It just feels normal. Coming to a point where you feel like you are congruent with yourself is a process. And sometimes it can be a painful process because we have to come to realization and be honest with ourselves to realize that maybe we haven't been really true to how we feel because we're worried about what people think. Now, the concern for how we appear online, especially now with social media and everyone's like, got to have the brand, got to have the brand. And the word brand itself normally conjures up an idea of a brand and a logo and how you look and appear. But at the end of the day, you know, we try on different brands and based on how we are conditioned or how we've been trained, especially like if you've been to secondary education and you went through, you were trained in a style or you learned certain skills and you do emulate, it's modeling behavior, just like parents do with their children, right? They become very similar to their parents because of what they've seen. So we naturally will, especially when we don't really know ourselves completely. I mean, we see this with teenagers all the time, like middle school, like I have an almost 12-year-old. And oh my gosh, all of a sudden, I'm original and I'm the first one with this idea and no one's allowed to copy me. And then, of course, like, you know, you can't do that. That is my idea and I want to just be so different. And of course, I'm a unicorn and I'm like, okay, let's say. And then this one is criticizing. I mean, it's like, how about we just be ourselves? Stop trying to like, you know, emulate something and then we want to be cool. So we get the kicks that everyone else is wearing and, you know, well, so-and-so does her hair like this. And it's because it comes down to that human need to be included, to be wanted and to be seen and heard. And it goes back to those old tribal days where you had to be part of a tribe to survive. So you complied with the tribe. And of course, in modern day conditioning, everyone wants to be the cool kid. Everyone wants to be in. No one wants to feel rejected. But at the same time, we want to be unique because we have that internal compass in us that says, I need to be me. I need to be me. And you can tell when there's that frustration of like, I know I need to do this. Like modern methods or marketing says I should be doing this. Like an example, oh, everyone else is doing TikTok videos with the And I'm like, no, sorry, that's not me. I'm very animated, but you're not going to see me looking like an idiot, like a 12-year-old on TikTok. I'm just don't. No. And I've realized some people are, oh, well, you can get, you know, it could be good for your business. And I'm like, I don't care. It's not congruent to who I am. And I realized I had to try all the things. And it's trying it on like an outfit, like you try to put on the persona or the language, or you start to be something, or like, especially these gurus we have online or these big names. We see them doing something and we think, oh, if we just copy what they did, we will get the same result. But that's not how life works. There are certain elements to who you are and you can't show. It's like, you ever seen these baking shows? Everyone is given the same recipe and the exact same ingredients, but all the cakes turn out different because what you put in and your style and your timing and the effort and the thought process that you put into that, like creating a business and creating a cake and different temperatures and, you know, how it's, the approach is different, which I think is great. That's what makes us different, right? Who wants to be like everybody else? But at the same time, I think as entrepreneurs, there's a standard of what's expected, especially with, you know, Gary Vee says this and then Tony Robbins says this and then this one says this. And then we feel like we're being pulled in 100 different directions. And sometimes less is more. So even what I did is I went when I did a rebrand and said, who do I want to be and who is me? I deleted like 10 years worth of blog posts. I deleted over 2,000 people on my email list. I'm like, honey, we got to break up because I'm sorry. I can't keep you all happy. I have to be happy to who I am. That's why I'm very, very open about like I'm of Christian faith And it's not to say it's from a religion. It's a way of living. It's like an internal compass of how I make decisions, that I do business decisions with God. Like, God's my business partner. You know, I know that if I don't pray about something, I'm a hot mess, believe me. And I know that resonates with the right people. And I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea, because I like to describe myself as a personal trainer. Like, I will make you sweat. I will make you cry, but I will make you push the resistance, but you will be so much stronger. You're going to look real fancy afterwards, and you're going to be so fierce. Like my husband says, you only create fierce females. I'm like, well, thank you very much. It's exactly the style. So again, it's like, what's your style of music? What's your style of food? Like, not everything's going to work for you. And as business owners and entrepreneurs, it's okay. Not everybody is meant to be your client. You don't have to please everybody. And you can breathe a sigh of relief. You just have to be you. I'm like, hello, back to the five-year-old. What did he or she like, right? And it's really simple. Simplicity is really the key to getting back to who you are on a deep level, so you can be congruent with who you are, in alignment with your God-given purpose, so you can walk out and every day becomes more fun, it becomes more relaxed, there's less stress, because you know this is meant for you. And then you don't have a problem with comparison or criticism or judgment, because you know, oh, that's good for her, but it's not for me. You know, I'm happy when I see people succeed, because it means it's good for them. That's their race. Entrepreneurs, we're always searching for breakthrough. We're always searching for something that works. And at the end of the day, unfortunately, the way a lot of people online have sold it is that you just need this shiny object or this silver bullet, and then all of a sudden all your problems go away. And I'm like, it just doesn't work that way. The growth is in the processes, because when you look back, like I look back who I was even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and I'm like, I look at my YouTube videos when I started my channel like 8 years ago, and I'm like, oh, honey, oh, like seriously, you really put that out there? But I look back and I go, you know what? I'm actually proud of myself. I might have started and it wasn't really great. I didn't know what I was doing. I was fumbling all the place. The lighting wasn't great. And my messaging has changed drastically since then. And even things that I was touting and saying that you need to do this, and now I'm like, I realized with maturity and time, not all things are applicable. But I think if we just really stop to say, what is right for me in this moment? Because we go through seasons as well. You know, just look at nature. Like, we never stay in winter. We never stay in summer. We have to, life ebbs and flows. And here's the thing. Life is always 50-50. There is not better than here. Because you're always going to have good and you're always going to have bad. And you can't have the good without the bad. But unfortunately, modern society has got us in this idea that you always have to feel happy. And if you feel bad or you feel anxious or, just pop a pill or do this, let's just deflect. And I'm like, no, you need to lean into those things that push your buttons. You need to find out why that thing is broken. By you know, not to say I'm against medication. Medication does work, but to pop pills and to buy a course or to get this quick hack as a quick fix to get somewhere, because we don't want to deal with the real root cause, is only going to keep you in delay and going to keep you in the cycle going round and round. And believe me, life has a way of teaching you the same lesson until you learn it. So we're better off just taking a step back and saying, what is it that I need to learn? What is it that I'm trying to seek? And it never really is the thing that you think it is. You think, oh, well, I need to make money in my business because why? Well, because I need to prove to be successful. But why do you want to be prove that you're successful? Well, you know, all my friends and my family don't believe me. Well, why don't they believe in you? Well, because when I was a kid, you know, I'd do things and then things wouldn't pan out. And why didn't they pan out? It was like, well, because I would get bored after and then I'd move over and they're like, okay, so let's look at the real thing. What is going on? Well, it's really because you're trying to impress the five-year-old self who wanted daddy's attention and who didn't get it. And that's why I say business problems are personal problems in disguise. And it's painful to talk about these things, but it's necessary. And one of the other things I've realized with entrepreneurs is, and not just entrepreneurs and people in general, is we don't want to feel our feelings. We're either medicating or deflecting or denying. We don't want to be bored, so we go play on a screen. We don't want to feel the feelings, so we go grab, you know, a tub of ice cream to dull the feelings, or we go take medication, or we over-exercise. There's always like distraction. And no one wants to sit and say, why am I feeling shame? Why am I embarrassed? Like, why does this bother me so much? Let me lean into that. And just like grief has a process, all of the emotions we have have a process, and allowing yourself to feel it, even like physically crying is great. Like I say, if you are feeling frustrated and unresolved grief will show itself up in different ways in your life until you deal with it. Same thing with shame, same thing with rejection, same thing with, you know, a low self-esteem. There's always a deeper root. But if we are constantly denying and deflecting and distracting ourselves, we never deal with what's important. So I say, if you want to make money in your business, learn to feel your feelings. Like if you have a business failure, what is that? Shame. Well, what's the worst that could happen? You feel shame. So sit in that shame and go, that was really awful. That feels terrible. But okay, what's next? How can I pick myself up? Allow it to leave your body. Let the tension go. And that's why they say forgiveness is key. It's not for the other person. It's for you. Because you keep keeping that junk in your trunk. So what it is get rid of it. Let it go. Like literally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, work through it. And I call this coming to the edge of the cliff. Like, we always fear the worst. The fear of something happening is actually worse than it actually happening. So when you stand on the edge of the cliff and you're scared about what you're going to see, what's going to happen when you take that leap of faith, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Okay, so take a step. And then if you die, well, in my case, yay, we're in heaven. We made it. Woohoo! But at the end of the day, is it really that bad? Is the feeling of shame that bad that's going to hijack the rest of your life, your relationships, your decisions? How about we just deal with it, get rid of it, and move on? Like, sometimes it's that simple, but I know it's not as easy as it sounds. And it does take a bit of bravery and courage. But believe me, by taking that step, just like, I can't remember which movie it was one of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, where he had to cross over this barrier and there was no bridge and he couldn't see it and it was foggy and he just had to trust himself. And only when he took the step did the rope and the bridge appear. But it wouldn't appear until he took the step of faith.
Are you ready to change your brain, to change your life? Discover how to break limiting beliefs, stop self-sabotage, and unlock your full potential by rewiring your brain using neuroscience, coaching, and faith-based principles. Come and join my coaching program, Unstick Your Mind, today.